Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, y'all. Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today with the Dallas Cowboys.
Cowboys.
June 6, 1944, D-Day. That's the day General Dwight D. Eisenhower led Allied forces in the storming of Normandy, France. Codename Operation Neptune, 160,000 men landed on the beaches of northern France, determined to liberate the French from Nazi control. You know what the D in D-Day stands for?
What?
Day. D-Day means day-day. The D represents the day an important military operation takes place. Yeah. Bring this up because Dallas Cowboys general Jerry W. Jones is moving closer to launching his own personal D-Day. You know what the D stands for in Dallas?
What?
Dak. Dak Day. Mm. There's going to be an all-out assault on Dak Prescott's contract value. Yesterday, General Jones tipped his plans when he signed defensive lieutenant Jalen Smith to a team-friendly $65 million contract extension. On D-Day 1944, General Eisenhower said, "We will accept nothing less than full victory." After signing Smith, General Jones sounded as confident as his predecessor, General Eisenhower.
The team takes precedent at a point over the opinion or the demand of the individual. The team takes precedent. This was a team move that we are talking about today, a real team move. The team takes precedent.
Are you confident that the other
and I've got the backbone to keep the keep it that way.
Yes, sir. Dak Day is just around the corner. When I ask about Dak, Ezekiel Elliott, and Amari Cooper signing team-friendly deals, Jerry made his military objectives quite clear.
I wouldn't speculate on what's in somebody's mind at all about that, but. The way to get this done is people to have a little more, to have thought about team. And that's certainly in Jalen's mind.
All right, in my view, Jerry is talking about one soldier and one soldier only. It's Private First Class Dakari Fitzgerald Prescott.
Ooh.
Dak wants significantly more money than what he's worth, and that's not team friendly. General Jones just gave Jalen Smith $65 million, patted him on the rear end, sent him into the Cowboys barracks and told him to tell the rest of the troops that Dak needs to take a team-friendly deal the way you just did. Dwight Eisenhower is looking down at Jerry from above and saying, "You go, Cowboy." Jerry is laying the foundation for Dak Day brilliantly and methodically. In the months prior to D-Day 1944, Allied forces pounded the Germans from above, setting the stage for the land invasion. Mm. That's exactly what Jerry's doing. He's poisoning the air around Dak Prescott by spelling out what it means to be a Cowboy and win a Super Bowl.
With the Dallas Cowboys, if we do this thing right, there can be things that are rewarding to families and careers that aren't necessarily manifested in a collective bargain agreement, a player contract. And you've got to be able to look around some corners and kind of see that and think that that might happen.
Jerry Jones takes care of all Cowboys who take care of the Cowboys. But it's not just Jerry. The whole state of Texas pampers loyal Cowboys. An enemy agent has captured Dak Prescott and convinced the young soldier that he deserves the kind of war rations normally reserved for decorated combat veterans. It will soon be D-Day in Dallas. Jerry will use the 52 men inside his barracks to talk some sense into Dak Prescott. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth, former NFL linebacker LeVar Arrington. Marcellus, I'll start with you.
Yeah.
Jerry's comments were directed at Dak.
Look, when you hear team friendly, and we look it up in the dictionary, picture a Dak Prescott just jumps out. Oh, team friendly, because he can't be talking about anybody else of the trio. Think about it. We can't talk about Zeke. Dude's won 2 rushing titles, and in the 3rd year that he was suspended, he led the league in yards per game as a rusher. So we're not talking about him. This is a top 3, if not the best running back in the game. Not talking about Amari Cooper either. If you think about it, since he's been in the league since 2015, the numbers he put up, only 7 other guys have surpassed that, and that's Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, Brandon Cooks, Amari Cooper, Mike Evans, Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones. Damn, that's a list. So you're not talking about Amari. Who's left? Dak, Fitzgerald, Prescott. And the problem with Dak right now is Jerry warned you. Jerry warned you, and I told you. I tried to highlight it. The media just did a speed through Jerry's comments last week, as I quote, would it be better if we can get one of the players done that none of you guys are talking about? The answer is yes. What may surprise you is we may come up with that, the one you haven't been asking about. He said that last week. And basically now the kids have come into the house and realized, ain't enough pie left. And you pouting. You better run to that table because Jerry is not going back to the store to get some more pie. He's trying to set a tone. Did you see how he looked right there in that press conference? And as he was saying, this is more than money. This is bigger. This is the star. He looked at Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith just looked at him like, you got me, man. You got me. I'm in. I'm team friendly. So Dak, shots fired, man. If you don't get to that table, ain't gonna be no pie left.
Listen, he is talking to Dak. But I think he also is directing it towards Ezekiel because he wants him back on that team. You want to have your team in line and ready to go the closer you get to the season. You want to be able to challenge and be competitive. You want to win your division. You want to be able to win a Super Bowl. He's trying to set a tone as an owner, but I think you also got to take into consideration that he's trying to basically convince them that this isn't about business. This is about loyalty. Mm. And I got to be honest with you. Mm. Coming from me, bump loyalty. Mm-hmm. All right, bump it. Mm-hmm.
Bump it.
All right.
You didn't play for the Cowboys or Jerry Jones.
I did. Bump, bump, bump. It wasn't long enough to really feel the loyalty. I couldn't finish the word out. Hey, but
when it all comes down, when it comes back to it and it comes down to it, they'll dump him as quickly as they signed him. Mm. So if he feels as though that's his value, then hold steady to what you think your value is. I think it is a very difficult situation for Jerry Jones to be in. And him coming out with a tough posture in this I think it's commendable in the sense of business, but you got to look at what these guys are doing as players, and you got to think it's commendable as them as players as well. This is not a Super Bowl team right now, but it could possibly be with all those guys in place.
Do you remember the movie North Dallas 40?
Of course.
Just when they call it a business, you call it a game, and just when we call it a game, you call it a business. Mm-hmm. I don't feel the least bit sorry for a billionaire owner crying salary cap poverty. Mm. Find a way to pay your players. Mm-hmm. Don't pressure Dak Prescott in the media being like, oh, if you don't sign, ain't gonna be no pie left. Well, guess what? Ain't plenty of pie out there with 32 teams, and guess what? About 18 of them need a damn quarterback. So I'll hit free agency. There's plenty of pie for me. You're either going to have to franchise tag me or I'm going to get mine. So I'll play this thing out. For Dak Prescott, I just don't feel sorry for owners at all. You got offensive linemen, $15.5 million, $14 million, $13 million, $12 million, $10 million. You can renegotiate a bunch of contracts and find a way to pay all your players, but you're going to play it out in public, play it out in the media. Oh, woe is me. I've got a gazillion-dollar stadium. I've got a gazillion-dollar facility. I've got hotels on it, and I sell tickets to come watch us freaking practice. And then we're going to cry poverty, and there's only a few slices of pie left. You can pound sand. That's baloney. That's garbage.
Let me say this, Mark.
Sand. Mm.
Your speech is wonderful if your name is Ezekiel Elliott or Amari Cooper.
Amen.
I'm 1,000% with
okay,
you.
All right.
But I'm going to just tell you this. Jerry has cut the biggest piece of pie for Dak Prescott. The other 31 teams, they'll give him a piece of pie, but it won't be as big as Jerry's. Mm. He doesn't have that kind of value anywhere else. And Jerry's sitting there telling you, hey, man, this cowboy thing, this star on your helmet, Dak, if you do all these other things, there's money to be made long after you're done playing.
Yeah, beyond the dollars, the equity value.
That sounds
and
good.
Look, I love the fact, and I agree with you, we shouldn't feel sorry for owners, but I also respect the other guy across from the table who is sitting there saying, this is how I'm gonna run business. So Dak, he's going to sell pressure. Don't mean you got to feel the pressure. You got to start to believe in yourself. Right. Oh, I do want to test free agency. Good luck with that. But at the same time, I'm not going to tell Jerry Jones how to run his business because he's doing what you're supposed to do if you're a shrewd businessman.
Sure.
Try to get the most value. And Dak is doing what he needs to do, I'm sure, through his agent, trying to get the most money. And that's where we are right now, is just in a public forum.
Show me where, LeVar, I hear your point, but show me where Jerry Jones has been disloyal to any of his longtime Cowboy players.
Well, okay. Well, don't, I mean, do that.
Nate,
DeMarcus Ware won a Super Bowl in Denver.
Don't do that. Emmitt Smith was not a Cowboy. And Emmitt wanted to be a Cowboy, but, you know, the Phillies got involved. What?
How many years was that?
Jimmy Johnson works here. You know how he got here?
Wow.
Oh, I'm just not going to look. I love Jerry Jones. Wow. He cut Marcellus. Oh, no, don't do that. But the point is, Jerry's been there.
Nate Newton went to jail, and Jerry's still standing with him. I'm going to court with Michael Irvin. Zeke's been an idiot his whole career. Jerry stood by him.
Yeah.
Jerry takes care of his guy.
Yeah. Where Dez go? What? You asked for examples.
Can't beat one-on-one.
You can't. You asked for examples. I'll give you some. My bad.
It's not about where has Jerry not been loyal to his players more so than it is about the loyalty of what your job represents. So when I made that comment, when I say it, it doesn't have to be based upon who he's been loyal to in the past versus where he is currently at right now. As it applies to what will take place with this contract situation, if it does not work out, if at some point they have to get rid of him based upon cap space, whatever the business decision will be, they will make that decision, is what I'm saying. There is no loyalty in business. Business is business. That's why they say don't take it personal. It's just business.
I would agree. Yeah. Over the course of time, you're right. It's just going to be all a business thing.
Come on.
But in particular moments with Ezekiel Elliott, to me, Jerry's been loyal. To me, with Dak Prescott, I would have drafted a quarterback this year. That would have been my move because I wouldn't be as loyal as Jerry. I'd be like, hey man, it's been nice what you've done, but if you're going to play silly about this contract, we will start looking
at your loyalty. Can your loyalty be exercised in a personal capacity? Because the question, what you're raising right now is we're blurring lines between what loyalty and business is. Can I be cool with you, Jerry, as somebody who worked for you and played for you, even if we don't get this contract done? If we do get this contract done and it may not be as much as I wanted it to be, can we still be cool on a personal level? See, loyalty to me comes in play on a personal level, not in the business. It does not exist. At the volume of business,
right.
Loyalty does not exist.
I think one thing, and I will tell you about Jerry Jones, the players that played for Jerry Jones that were his guys, he's been incredibly loyal to them. He's put them in business deals.
Yep.
He takes care of his former players.
That's what he was saying at the press conference,
There's no question.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, there is no question he has done that. With that said, does that mean that you should take less than what you think your market value is if you think you can get it? And from the business perspective, if I'm Dak Prescott and I feel like, hey, man, I can see free agency on the horizon, and I think I understand the dearth of quarterbacks that exist in this league, and I think I'm that good, I'm going to gamble on myself. I don't have any problem with a dude gambling on himself if he believes it.
Neither do I, and I don't want to remove it out of the football and pro sports deal because that's where the conversation belongs.
Uh-huh.
But I've been in positions where I've bet on myself and taken far less than my own value because I was like, oh, no, I'm going to go out here and show you. And I've won. I can point to things that I've done in my career. Like, okay, that's all you want to pay? Cool.
But you haven't always done that.
No, not always.
Right?
Younger in my career, I made decisions betting on myself. Dak is still young in his career in a league where quarterbacks are now playing until 38, 39
that's
years
fair.
Old and getting paid. It's time for Dak, if he's truly the man, bet on yourself. Dak's 25, 26. I've been there and made those decisions.
Right, but I think betting on yourself is saying, I'm going to go through free agency and you're going to pay me $35 million a year on a franchise tag, or I'm going to get it somewhere else.
You know what's interesting? We're focusing on the word loyalty when Jerry's loyalty to Dak and Zeke hasn't been tested yet. Let's just be real about this. He got them on the cheap. They're rookie deals. And one of them has two more years and franchise tags. So loyalty is a two-way street, brother. So right now, you got me on the cheap. I have the second most wins at the quarterback position. I'm the top running back in the league, and you got me on the rookie deal. Loyalty is when, uh-oh, I'm coming down the hill, or uh-oh, I'm not really living up to contract value for an owner. What are you going to do in that moment? Because when I was playing for cheap, you weren't running to give me this contract extension. So Jerry's loyalty hasn't been tested yet.
Oh, great point. Would Jerry's response would be, look at this offensive line I built for you. Did I go out and get Amari Cooper for you? Have I built a great defense? Have I made it easy? Quarterbacks would love, Tony Romo would love to play.
You know what Chris Rock would say about that? That's what you're supposed to do. Right. What are you going to do? Build a bad team for me?
Hey, guys. Jason Whitlock here. Thank you for listening to the Speak for Yourself podcast. If you like what you hear, you should take a minute to check out the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast, hosted by The Herd's very own Joy Taylor. On the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast, you'll tap into a different take on the world of sports. Joy will break down all the biggest stories from the NFL, NBA, culture, in and out of sports, and everything in between. So subscribe now for a weekly episode of Maybe I'm Crazy every Tuesday night on your favorite podcast platform. Now back to the show.
Mark Schlereth is back with us. We're joined now by future Hall of Famer James Harrison. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Baltimore, where the Ravens have been saying that Lamar Jackson is about to revolutionize the NFL, building a custom offense tailored to Lamar's unique skills. But it turns out Lamar's skills might actually be more traditional than we thought, with NFL analyst Warren Sharp writing a new column defending Lamar's ability as a passer, with Sharp explaining that Lamar actually posted a higher yards per attempt and better passer rating in his rookie season than a number of QBs drafted above him over the last several years, including Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, and Sam Darnold. All right, we're talking about this because Warren Sharp, to me, is the best guy in writing, analyzing the NFL. This guy is tremendous. He's not to be trifled with or second-guessed. I've been a Lamar Jackson skeptic. I read this and was shook to my core. I was like, "Ooh, I might be wrong."
Yeah.
Let me get in this Deion Sanders backpedal a little bit. He brought out some facts that have shaken me up, and I'm going to adjust my narrative on Lamar based on it, and I'm going to take a much more wait-and-see approach going into this season.
So I know what you think of Warren Sharp, and I also now know what you think of me, because I've been saying this from hello, especially last
year. Warren Sharp.
I just noticed that. And you, my boy, my co-host, never took this into consideration. I told you when I went to that Chargers game, and I said, man, this dude could throw. I mean, a lot can be seen when you're there live. You get to see him pregame, sidelines, just miss opportunities, whatever it may be, just filling it in the elements. I'm like, he could throw. He's just not comfortable yet. The game hasn't slowed down for him yet. But let's not doubt his passing ability. We don't even talk about his running ability. It's next level. When you talk, Tyreek Hill-ish almost at the quarterback position. The dude can do it all. So when I see numbers that finally support him, it supports the eyeball test if you look at it in unconventional terms. We've seen a lot of quarterbacks that come into this league and they're already on strike one because they just don't look like a quarterback. They can't do it with the proper mechanics. It just is not sellable to those who are distant from the game. But this is a guy you need to bet on because of his age and his skill set. And I'm glad finally something supports it more than just the eyeballs.
You know, I'm the ultimate Raven hater. And as soon as I saw this, I wanted to like jump down his neck and just be like, nah, he can't do it. Yeah. But I had to sit back and I thought about it. I read the article just like you, and I'm like, that sounds kind of familiar, like his startings. And you go back to 2004, Ben Roethlisberger. And when Ben came in the league, he's not the guy that he is now. He wasn't developed. He wasn't slinging the ball everywhere. Ben's first year, he had 10 games under 200. He had three that was over 200, only one over 300 yards. His rookie year, Lamar's, he had six games of his seven that were under 200, only one that was over 200. So I look at it again. I say, well, how many times is he throwing the ball? Ben only attempted 21 passes his rookie year, completing on average 14 a game. Lamar, 22, completing on average 13 a game. And something else that stuck out, it's like, well, how are they able to do this? Both teams had number two rushing offenses. And another factor, they both had a number one defense. So he's not going to be rushed and trying to have to develop everything right now. And with that, I think he'll be able, possibly, to be one of those franchise quarterbacks.
Let me tell you.
Break it down.
the difference between apples and oranges. Okay? Apples are red or green. They're crispy inside. Oranges are orange, henceforth the name. They have slices, right? They serve oranges at halftime during Pop Warner games.
Yeah.
They don't serve apples. Mm-hmm. You're comparing offenses from a traditional standpoint to a collegiate offense that he operated in. Can he throw to a wide open slant receiver that's the only read in his route? Absolutely. But when he came into a situation where he had to operate from the pocket, he was woefully inadequate. Does that mean he can't get better? No, it doesn't matter. It means that he can't get better. But I guarantee you one thing. In the offense that they ran last year, this collegiate style of offense, he will not survive. At 212 pounds, he will eventually. Listen, right now you go into a situation where you've got so many keys, it's so awkward, it's so different for you as a defensive player that, you know what, you're playing on your heels. Just like when they first introduced Wildcat into the offense in the National Football League in 2007 or 8, when the Miami Dolphins ran it down the New England Patriots' throats, and everybody put in Wildcat, right? Mm-hmm. And nobody could defend it. You know how many Wildcat teams there are now? The Saints are the only one that consistently run a little bit of it because they've got that quarterback that's a freak show, all right?
Yeah.
That backup quarterback. But the bottom line is defenses will adjust. And eventually, you know what you'll say? Hey, you know what, James, we're going to give up the 13-yard flip. What I want you to do is I want you to give him a mouthful of Riddell and knock him out of the game. Right? When he comes down there, that's exactly what happens. That's how we talk. And you will not survive the way you're currently constructed as an offense. So you're comparing this article. I read this article. I laughed. This article is comparing apples to oranges. They're completely different offenses. That's what you're comparing.
Mark, I hear you.
Okay.
You just said everything that I believed going into this article. but what I'm saying, what I thought Warren Sharp did a great job of is saying, hey, man, there's a path for him to adjust and for them to run a legitimate NFL offense.
Right.
Don't give up on this guy as a passer. There are some indicators here that say there will be some growth here.
You think about this. Here, think about this. In 2004, when Ben was doing his thing, when he had his biggest plays was scrambles. Why? Because the defense broke down. You no longer had to read it. You hit the open man. So he's right now, he's in his rookie year. He can't read all these complicated defenses now.
I call that a sight thrower. When things break down, you move around. Now I'm a sight thrower. I'm not anticipatory. I'm not throwing a route combination. I'm just looking at my guy and going, oh, he's open, bam. Can you do that? Yeah. Is there a pathway? Absolutely. Will you survive health-wise? See, that's my biggest issue. I mean, we've got Cam Newton, who's the biggest. I mean, he's the freak show of all freak shows when it comes to 6'5", 240. Mm-hmm. At 29 years old, man, like, he had shoulder surgery. He missed the last two games of last year. He was broken. Like, he was, I mean, I did the game late. He's broken. He's one of the biggest men. I mean, he is a genetic
tight end playing
genetic freak show. If he breaks down, now it took a while. I just get concerned about that style. Can you get to the point where he's a legitimate NFL drop back guy reading out things? Because that takes time for I don't care who you are. That takes time. It's complicated.
The correlation between size and fragility is not direct. Like, Warrick Dunn was out there every year giving his business, and good luck catching that gnat. And getting a square hit on them. I think there's faulty premises here. One is the forecast. A lot of what you're based on is the negative forecast that he's going to get hurt doing this. We don't know that. Chances are you're right if you want to play the percentages. But two, let's not look at how when he had to sit in the pocket and play against the Chargers twice in 3 weeks. The Chargers first time, they were like, what is this? Second time, they put out 11 DBs.
Yeah.
And I mean, no defense ever looked like that.
Right.
And he's a rookie in the playoffs for the first time. That's an anomaly. I think there's room to grow because he's actually starting at a place that people don't even give credit for.
There's no question. I'm not saying there's not room to grow. I'm just saying, will you get there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Will you get there? But to compare his numbers straight up to the other numbers when you're comparing two different offenses, I don't think that's fair.
I get it.
That's a great point.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Mark Schlereth and James Harrison are back. Let's move to Cleveland, where the Browns' noisy preseason continues. This week, Baker Mayfield did some more talking, sitting for a GQ interview, where he called out Giants rookie quarterback Daniel Jones. But head coach Freddie Kitchens brushed aside any concerns that Baker's big mouth was putting a bullseye on the team.
We don't care. All right, it's already on there, so it doesn't matter. We'll be ready to play. I don't know what a bullseye is. I don't know what that is. You might know. You might know what a bullseye is. If they're not trying to beat our ass and we're not trying to beat their ass, I don't know what else you do. Because that's what we're going to try to do. Hopefully they try to do the same.
He knows what a bullseye is. Mm-hmm. It's added unnecessary pressure on your own self. And it's teams not like, oh, okay, we're not taking, this isn't a bye week. We're not going to overlook these guys. I don't buy that he doesn't know what a bullseye is, but I do think he's handling it the right way. He can't control it, so he's got to embrace it.
Yeah, I mean, he's okay with this. Look, first year head coach, you obviously wish you had a soft launch party. Like, hey, y'all, keep the expectations kind of low. Let's build this thing up. Mm-hmm. But with these personalities in that locker room on this team, it's a block party, and they bring in all the party favors. So he's like, hey, I got to coach with what I'm given. And in that respect, I think he goes back to how he learned the game from under like a Bill Parcells, who I played for. And Bill Parcells didn't give a damn what kind of personality you had. I mean, think about it, from LT on down. As long as that game was right, you could do whatever you wanted. And that's how it goes. So I think you're hearing that from him. He's like, everyone I play and everyone I coach against is going to be fully motivated. What's this extra stuff that you keep talking about? I know a lot of times we say it in the media, oh, extra motivation. But I just don't buy into that, and I don't think Freddie does. He's like, this dude's trying to eat off me every time I get out on the field, so I got to go kill.
Well, I believe, like you said, he likes it. He's buying into it. He's okay with it. But for me personally, that is a bullseye. I'm thinking a little bit more about you that week leading up to that game. And if I got to go out of my way missing assignment to smack you,
oh, I know what
if
you're talking
I
about.
Get that chance,
yeah, yeah,
then I'm going to do it.
But that's coming back to haunt you.
But
think
listen.
That's coming back to get
but
you.
But I'm not gonna say it out there. I'm not gonna say, oh, I'm looking for, I'm like, oh no, you know, everyone's going out there, you know, you're trying to beat me up, I'm trying to beat you up, right. You know, it's nothing personal. We're just going. But if you go out there and you say something like this, then I'm gonna have a little, you've never heard me say, oh no, whatever he said didn't matter. Mm-hmm. In the back of my head, all week, I'm thinking about if I can put him to sleep.
Yeah, but let me push back. You don't think there's a coordinator upstairs saying, oh, he just knocked our quarterback. Is he okay? Okay, Harrison, he doesn't have contain. Watch that. Because you're sending messages, but you're not sending your responsibility. It's one time.
I'm not going to go out my way.
Mm. Okay.
I'm going to get that one time. You see how Troy jumps over the line? Troy got deep third, but that one time he jumped over the line, he made that tackle. Deep third didn't matter. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do to him.
Right, it worked for you. I get it.
I'm telling you, I'm a big believer in the bullseye stuff, where I'm a big believer in it, and you know exactly what it is. Like, you think about the rivalry you were involved in. Pittsburgh-Baltimore was must-see TV.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, you stand close enough, you might come away with a bloody nose next to the TV set. Like, that's how physical those games were. Mm. You can't tell me those games didn't carry a little bit more weight. Here's where bullseye comes in, because when the ball's kicked off, you don't think about what somebody said or whatever. You're at trying to execute your responsibilities, right, and all those things. Where it really comes into play is people get motivated to play you. So the four or five guys that maybe aren't necessarily the best professionals on your football team, those four or five guys are more dialed in during the week, because mm-hmm. there's something special about this week. There's something special right now going on about playing the Browns. They're the most talented team. They're getting, you know, all the Super Bowl accolades. They're getting this, that, and the other. I guarantee you, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Baltimore Ravens, I don't know about Cincinnati, because Cincinnati. But I'm telling you, there is extra motivation to dot your I's, cross your T's, and beat down the Cleveland
Cowher,
Browns.
When we used to play them, is do not give them any bulletin board material to put up. The first thing you say that was ill of anybody, that was the first thing we saw in that team meeting on the big screen. So-and-so said this right here.
Sure.
I'm going to tell you the other thing where it could affect the Cleveland Browns. And it's not about a bullseye. It's a boomerang effect. And what I mean by that is all this bluster and talk, if they have a two-game losing streak, it's going to feel like six.
It will.
And yeah. And there's nothing worse in the NFL than losing. When you lose one game,
woo!
God, walking in on Monday. Woo!
Preach.
Like, oh,
hurry
yeah.
up Sunday.
Yes. yes.
Right?
Oh.
Yes. The Browns lose two games.
Oh, man.
And now all of a sudden, Odell, Baker, somebody's pointing the finger. It ain't my fault.
Yeah.
This defense, they ain't doing this or that. That's where I think this could get real complicated. There's so much noise. If they lose two games, the Cleveland media, the national media, Colin Cowherd, everybody's coming crazy.
You know what's crazy? When you win a game, you could go in the locker room, say a bad joke, everybody laughing. Ah, you somebody, why are you stupid? Yeah. Boy, you say a good joke when you lose, everybody like, dog.
Dope. Time and a place. Time and a place, man.
Everybody mad for nothing. I'm like, coach, that game behind us and the next one in front of us.
The other thing about the NFL is when you lose, the coaching staff punishes you as players.
Oh, I know.
Oh, they just go ahead and punish you, man. Yeah. Everything you – like, oh, hey, normally we got to show up at 10. We're showing up at 6 this morning, right? We're running that, yo. I mean, they just punish you.
For what? All right, Darnell, did we miss anything?
Yes, sir. So Daniel Jones obviously saw Baker's comments about him being surprised that the Giants drafted him so soon, and he had a quick response to it. Take a listen.
Yeah, I've seen him play, watched him in college, and some a little bit last year. I think he's a great player. He can throw it and enjoy watching him play.
Do you guys like Jones taking the high road here?
Love it. I will say I saw this morning where Baker Mayfield reached out to Jones and cleared the air, apologized, whatever. But yeah. Daniel Jones is doing what Baker Mayfield needs to do, just a teeny bit of. Take the high road.
He has no other play here. You know, I don't even read this right. You know, it's you can't back up your words, so you got to play a PC. But you know what he's going to do? Chick, chick.
Go in his
and in 2-3 years, when he go throw a bomb on Cleveland, running down the sideline, looking at Baker Mayfield like, you Hugh Jackson now, fool. That's what he going to do. But right now, since you can't back up your words, you got to play a PC.
Yeah, I'm with it. Perfect approach. You got to play it like that. There's no other way to do it, especially with him not having any time in the league. Yeah.
I am, too. I just keep looking at that picture, and all I can think of is Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber.
Man, you knew that boy alone.
Right? Let me look at that.
Hey! Come on,
Mark. Hey, Samsonite. I was way off, right?
Yeah.
Harry, your hands are freezing.
Oh, my.
Man, y'all better leave Daniel Jones alone.
Right.
Oh, I hope he's the face of the league in 5 years.
Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington is back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. I got my
hit him, dude.
Let's get it.
Darnell, what's cracking?
What it?
Yeah, let's move to Miami. It looks like Dolphins head coach Brian Flores decided to troll one of his own players yesterday, playing a full playlist full of Jay-Z songs in practice. Just a day after wide receiver Kenny Stills openly questioned the rapper's new deal with the NFL. So I wanted to ask you guys, do you like Flores trolling Kenny Stills like this?
Well, he told Kenny Stills beforehand that he was going to do it.
Mm.
I do like it because he's like saying, I'm the man here. I'm not dealing with guy Kenny Stills. You ain't bigger than me, and I can take this shot at you. This is the old man in me, though. I go to these basketball or these 7-on-7s or whatever, and they got all this loud music playing with all the cussing and everything, and it's just too much for me. I'm just telling you the truth.
Man.
I'm telling you what.
That's the angle you took.
What about the clean version? You ain't heard the clean version?
I don't like the clean version.
Because it ain't nothing in there, right?
Real.
Right, you want the meat back.
Yeah.
So you got to deal
with it. That's why I wear headphones. But anyway, go ahead. Go ahead.
I ain't going to let all them facts mess up my good story.
Go ahead.
When I heard this level of petty, and oh, man, I got so hot. Literally.
You got hot?
Hype.
Oh,
damn, I went to the garage and got my cleats out. Like, I got to play for the Dolphins. I got to get a rep in with this dude. And I could imagine, you imagine being on this team. This is why I love football, and this is why we miss the locker room. Man, forget your feelings. This is how we go down. So he's like, everybody bring it up. Kenny, break him up. And then while Kenny's like, all right, getting up off his knee. And then he's got the team around him.
Oh, in practice.
He's trying to get up. You imagine hearing it. Down. Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Flores.
Everybody hype. Everybody hype. I miss football for that. Man, forget your feelings, bro. We out here for something else. I love this.
I totally agree. I think we're living in a society that is way too politically correct and too sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you just... why can't this just be a simple, we know that Stills is bothered by it.
That's him.
And we playing Jay-Z in practice.
Yes.
Get a laugh out of it, you know, have a good time with it. It's not a form where it has to be so serious. Why so serious?
Well, I don't think it was that serious. And right. I do think Brian Flores cut from the same but applying it differently than Bill Belichick.
Yes.
Like, hey, man, I'm the man.
Mm.
You just a guy on this team. And so I like that. And I'm just telling you, the old man to me, when I go to these 7-on-7s or whatever, I hear all that cussing, I was like, I listen to that in my headphones. I don't pollute the rest of everybody else with all the cussing and all that. But
yeah,
that's just the old.
Okay, we can have that conversation another day. But I love the levity of it. Mm-hmm. So when something is serious and you can feel the tension
right.
in the air,
loosen it up.
That's kind of how I am.
You make fun.
I got a joke for you right then, and you know everybody's like, and then it just dissolves, and everybody's like, all right, let's get on board and be on the same squad, be on the same team for the same goal. But to walk around and Kenny's all looking side eye, and everybody else like, what's gonna happen today? I love Coach Flores for doing that.
I wonder how Kenny Steeles felt in that moment. I'm hoping a little bit humbled, because to me, Kenny Steeles is an average NFL wide receiver whose only platform is taking a knee. Mm. And to me, this year is like, man, you ain't all that.
Mm. Nobody, be clear, ain't nobody walking around Kenny Steeles tight, though. Them players aren't tight. Like, oh, Kenny.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, boy. Tell
him I ain't go, LeVar.
You don't go sit down somewhere.
No,
take your knee over there in the corner.
That's right.
We over here. We trying to ball, man. It's hot out here.
Yeah, it's really.
It's 100 degrees, man. Go over there with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's
man.
Crazy because you got to think about it. How many black players are in the league? 1,300? How many are kneeling still? 3. So he's already used to a lonely experience, and respect to his courage for doing what he believes in. But do not think that's going to be osmosis and everybody else going to just blindly follow you because I'm scared to lose my black card of validation. You're doing it your way, doing it my way, but we still teammates.
Can't nobody take or give you your black card, especially when you got it. It's organic.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
All right, guys.
Well, be forced.
Yeah, so Jay-Z ain't the only person Kenny Steeles had a problem with lately. Steeles made waves recently by calling out Dolphins owner Stephen Ross for fundraising President Trump. And now Ross has actually resigned from an NFL working group that focuses on social justice issues, with fellow group member Chris Long explaining that Ross's Trump support was a conflict of interest. Wanted to ask you, are you okay with players pushing Ross out of the social justice committee?
I'm not, just because I think, as we talked about yesterday, one of the lessons in football is the ability to work together with people you completely disagree with on political issues, maybe on any number of issues. Some guys like country music, some guys like rap music, some guys like R&B, whatever. So I think it's very, very dangerous and can have a boomerang effect. You start saying, well, you know what? These people, we're casting out of society because we disagree with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they get power and then they decide, well, we disagree with you and we're gonna cast you out of society, I just don't like it.
I hate it. I hate it. It's such a simple-minded approach. When you talk about, oh, we disagree, so now we're going to deem you the enemy and you have to go away. Like, how you going to learn and how you going to grow if you stay in your echo chamber just repeating what you think and others think, which is the same? So I like being around people that challenge me.
Indeed.
I like being around people that disagree with me. I don't like a monolithic existence. I don't like when, oh, we have to move as one, especially in our culture. You know, everybody got to get into one line, one soul trade line to show that you black. And if you get outside that and say, no, I'm outside the box, whatever that box is, we got a problem. So what happens now? Stephen Ross and all those resources and all that influence
goes
and all
away.
Those power,
goes
all that power, not only goes away, goes to the quote-unquote other side. Mm. And now you don't have an ally who's talking to them in the echo chamber because you guys just cast him away. So what's the solution now? You just lost somebody who could walk into that room where there is disagreement and talk for you. Now that's all cut off and gone.
I'm going to give a different perspective, and I'm going to say I understand it. You know, I don't say I completely agree with it. I'll say I understand it. And the reason being is because we're in such a high, red, hot button topic society right now, heading into the elections and different things like that. I look at it as you do not, with all those things being said, you do not, in the end, want the message to be diluted and distracted. And I think what all this Jay-Z stuff, the Kaepernick stuff, the Steele stuff, this currently right now, if we're talking about social justice and we have a committee for that, if something is going to distract from what the ultimate goal is, then remove it for now.
Well,
for now.
LeVar,
and hopefully you make it clear to him when you make that known to him that LeVar, you would like for him to move.
Stephen Ross said, and I kind of believe him, that he left on his own accord for that very reason. I'm not going to be a distraction. But I just want to remind these players and just football fans, there's one NFL team that I know of, I can say offhand, that has a black general manager and a black head coach.
There it is.
It's the Miami Dolphins.
Boom.
And so we're going to cast out the guy that is empowering people because we don't like his politics. It's a mistake. And again, when you have the right message, when you are really confident in your position, you're not afraid of people that disagree with you.
Hell no.
That's an opportunity to reach them and convince them of your argument.
Exactly, because we know that the solution is nuanced, and therefore it needs to be layered in discussion so we can all grow from us exchanging ideas. This whole mindset of cancel culture, I disagree with you, cancel them. I disagree with what you say, get away from me. You've just cast away an opportunity for you to reach a new ground and maybe even higher ground collectively. But I guess a lot of this is just perception.
There you go.
Validation.
There you go.
Oh my God, what they gonna think if I'm not in line with what everyone says I have to do. If you, like you said, if you're really authentic, if you're really from it, you just laugh at that because you can't take it away.
James Harrison and LeVar Arrington are back. Let's move to the Raiders, who finally have Antonio Brown back at practice after yet another week of helmet drama. But last night's episode of Hard Knocks gave an inside look at how the team handled the AB saga this past week. And Jon Gruden actually had a surprising message for his favorite wide receiver.
I know you got a lot of people in your ear because you're like a corporation that's kind of gone global. Yeah. But at the end of the day, let's keep this simple.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Football comes first.
Absolutely.
Everything else way behind it. Right.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Let's because you, you handled all that seamlessly, beautiful.
Huh? Seamlessly, I like that word.
I was trying to come up with a multi-syllable.
That's a great word. Seamlessly.
Yeah, three syllables.
I would look that up.
Yeah. They don't have those at Dayton and Central Michigan.
All right, the question here is, will Jon Gruden regret embracing AB's behavior? They got a good cop, bad cop thing going on. Mayock is the bad cop. Gruden's a good cop. I don't think it's going to work.
I think it's going to work. I will admit, though, the whole he wasn't a distraction, he hasn't been a distraction, that's a little too much sugar on this one. But he knows that he has to use honey over vinegar when you talk about AB. Remember AB's psyche and his emotional state right now, leaving Pittsburgh. He just left a battered relationship. He just left a situation where he felt, I got to be friendly with my quarterback to get the ball. I'm better than the dude who's getting the ball as much as me, if not more than me. That's a weird dynamic. And now he's here and the whole helmet fiasco and you talk about his feet and that problem. But I think in terms of his mental makeup, it's time to nurture this dude because you got so much great talent in there to say, I'm not like Ben. I'm not going to take it out on you passively, aggressively on the field or call you out in the media. Mm-hmm. Got you, big dog. Relax. And, you know, it's funny, working with Whitlock, day one, you know, I've known this dude for years. And Whitlock, you know, you meet somebody new and they're like, the shoulders up by the ears. And you're like, after a while, you're like, oh, this dude cool. He ain't trying to harm me.
That's how I was when I came on the show.
Papa Bear is out. What you say? What you say? And then all of a sudden, now he just all chill. So I think this is the same situation, man. You just got to warm up to him, make him feel comfortable.
It's high-stakes poker. Mm-hmm. I don't think he regrets it at all. Whether it works or not, that's a whole nother topic. But I don't think he regrets this at all. You paid the man the money. It seems as though he has a personal relationship and rapport with AB, and I don't think he regrets it. I don't think he regrets it at all for the simple fact that if his relationship, put it to you like this, the way Gruden is handling the situation, I think is perfect for putting the onus on AB to have to actually get out there on that field. And perform.
There it is.
Yeah, I don't think he'll regret it because, you know, he like you said, he's doing everything, saying everything that, you know, is everything's cordial, it's greatest, you know, it's the honeymoon phase. And, you know, it's the thing that he said at the end. He said, you got a lot of people in your ear, you know, keep it simple. I think he's telling him, like, hey, I'm the one that's going to be here for you. Listen to me. Trust me. And at the same time, he's subliminally saying to other people who are in his ear, letting you know, I know you're watching Hard Knocks. Get out his ear. You can't have everybody around you agreeing with everything you do because that's not a true friend. A true friend is going to disagree with you at times because that's how it is. You can't have a bunch of yes men around you. Listen to me. And for those guys that are out there in his ear, I know you're in his ear, but I'm coming over here and I'm in his ear too. So right now, whoever done made a phone call last night or this morning talking about what he mean by that, that's that hit dog that's hollering the loudest.
That's okay. It. Mm-hmm. Boom.
Can I throw one more thing out there?
Go ahead.
Hit dog. There's no such thing as I'll say this. Some of the most impressive, high-functioning, successful teams in the history of the National Football League and probably in other sports were successfully dysfunctionally functional.
Okay. That's not the Raiders, though. But you're right, it could be.
Just
win, baby.
It could be. I'm going to say this. That's their DNA.
Yeah.
That's their DNA.
I'm going to be honest. Y'all have made a better argument than me, and as I've listened to y'all talk, I do agree regret's not the right word because it's his only play.
It's his only play.
The only play he's got play. Is like, and I've been in this situation. And again, I like to kid myself and use my personal life as an example, but a lot of it is just reality. I've been in a situation where kissing rear end was the only route I had. I screwed up so bad, tried to holler at her cousin. And I spent 2 years groveling.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Right.
But do I regret it? No, because I had to do that. That was the only play I had. Mm. It didn't work, but it was the only play I had.
I love that.
But you brought that. That's self-inflicted.
I mean, signing AB is self-inflicted.
You got to understand. He's admired AB from afar for a long time now. I'm looking at that real bad chicken. I've been trying to get a hold of her for the last 2 years,
but not
3 years.
Cousin.
And now all of a sudden, I got that opportunity to talk to her. And he got exactly what he wanted.
Yes.
That the best receiver in the game right now. For me, hands down.
Yeah, and it's crazy because you got to think about John Gruden and give him credit. This is his self-correction. We all know any game we've ever been in the first quarter, I'm going to do this move. Mm-hmm. Oh, damn, that didn't work.
Right.
See you in the third quarter with that same move. Mm-hmm. I'm going to set you up a little bit between. He learned from his Keyshawn Johnson experiment example. He learned.
And won a Super Bowl.
Right. Let me not come in such with the heavy hand because.
He had a lot of personalities on that team.
And he said it. Like the hit dog hollers, whoever hollers at AB now about this. But John Gruden has a 10-year contract. I was here before you, AB. I'm going to be here after you, AB. So you're going to need me to.
Man, you bringing up Tampa Bay brings up a very interesting point. I mean, you had Sapp.
Man, stop.
You had Keyshawn.
Mm-hmm.
You had Pittman. You had a ton of interesting personalities on that team. Simeon was on that team. He is no stranger to managing personalities of big people.
Look, AB's a tier one head case and diva. Sapp is a tier two.
What? Tier two?
Tier two.
Is tier two worse?
No. AB is the ultimate. AB is the ultimate head.
They tier one together.
I can't
together.
Go with him
I'll
on that.
I'll say Sapp is more.
Keyshawn, my boy, is one.
I was about to say, Keyshawn has to be more than him.
More than AB.
And AB?
Yes. He wrote a book as a rookie. Give me the damn ball. What? Hey, that's my boy, and I love him
day
for
one.
It, but
that's his home level.
Daniel Jones is saying, I'm sorry, Baker. It's okay. I take your apology. Keyshawn will write a book about Baker if you say something bad about him. Look, as a rookie, man.
Keyshawn, I never doubted, wanted to play.
Did he
not skip the game last year with the playoffs on the line with Pittsburgh?
He was suspended.
Did he not force them to suspend?
He didn't force them. It was a misunderstanding. I'm trying to get you to understand.
Get him again.
Listen, it's a misunderstanding of communication between him and his head coach at that time on what was going
to
happen.
You don't like saying Mike Tomlin's name.
He's covering his sources right here, ain't he? He covering.
And what actually happened, okay? So...
Say it with your chest, Debo. It's principality.
I'm not going to disagree with it. I don't know about you.
Listen, my thing is this. Like,
stop with.
Like, Mike may say one thing, AB may say another thing. And for my dealings up with Mike up until, you know, the last year, it was good. But I was told one thing.
Right.
Misled, and something else totally happened. Uh-oh. So I can understand how AB felt or how he may have misunderstood
now
what was said.
Now I'm getting
I know exactly what
got
was
me
said
sweating
and it didn't happen.
Uh-oh.
So for that That's why I can understand.
There'd be a lot going on.
And I'm going to have to reassess because now I'm thinking about Keyshawn going after Wayne Corbett.
Bruh.
Creshawn was a handful.
Bruh. Carmelo Jeremy Lin Sanity, like I don't care how good he is. He ain't going to be better than me. I mean, Keyshawn next level, bruh. He threw a party with Suge Knight as a rookie. Death Row Records was in his party as a rookie draft choice. Keyshawn's next level.
That's
dog,
next
he was a
level
celebrity. He ran SC. Yeah. This dude was like before Reggie Bush and him.
Look.
Come on, man.
I'll back off and say, but AB takes a backseat to no one. Go check his resume. Again, I keep going back to my boy Jesse Washington. No one wants to talk about all his off-the-field dramas and disagreements. Mm. He has miscommunications with damn near everybody, including some chef that cooked for him at the Pro Bowl that he's getting sued by. AB's a handful. John Gruden, when you give him that contract and you make that trade, this is the only play he has.
It's the only play he has.
The only play he has.
Yeah, I don't believe. In the end.
All right, before we go,
that was funny.
I'd like to congratulate women's soccer star Carly Lloyd on knocking down a 55-yard field goal at Eagles practice yesterday. I'd also like to respectfully chastise Albert Breer of Monday Morning Quarterback and Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network for diminishing Lloyd's feat by suggesting she's now a candidate for an NFL job. Siciliano tweeted out, "I can think of at least four NFL teams that could and should sign Carly Lloyd to be their kicker." Breer tweeted, "Serious question. If great kickers make $4 and $5 million per year and Lloyd can do this without much training, why wouldn't a women's soccer player make a run at a job at some point? It's way more than they can make on their own sport, right? Maybe I'm missing something." Here's what Breer and Siciliano are missing: a male or female professional soccer player taking a 6-yard running start to drain a 50-yard field goal is not proof they're the next Tom Dempsey. It's proof that soccer taught them to kick a ball far. Breer and Siciliano, two guys I respect and like, know this. They also know that kickers, even ones who kick field goals and extra points, are occasionally asked to make tackles or participate in fake field goals. They know that kickers stand 3 yards from the holder and basically take 3 steps before booting the ball. They know that there are roughly 1 million male soccer players more qualified than Lloyd to kick in the NFL. You could start with a group of 15-year-old boys from Dallas who easily beat the U.S. women's national team. The NFL's next Tom Dempsey is likely fighting pimples, playing spin the bottle, and vaping in his parents' basement. She wasn't at Eagles practice yesterday. Let me repeat. I like and respect Breer and Siciliano. They are excellent at their jobs, and they're well-intentioned. So why would they make this ridiculous suggestion that Carly Lloyd play professional football? Because social media is a stage that forces all of us to perform and act and disavow common sense. The Oscars should give out Academy Awards for best performances on Twitter and Instagram. Hmm. 2 days ago, Marcellus called BS on Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reid, and Nessa for their bogus social media performances as Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, and Angela Davis. Social media is where Sean King and Rachel Dolezal reject their birth certificates and recast themselves as Martin Luther and Coretta Scott King. Twitter is Silicon Valley's movie theater. Breer and Siciliano gave in to the desires of Northern California moviegoers and gave brief performances as feminist warriors. Siskel and Ebert gave them 2 thumbs down. More Speak for Yourself after this. LeVar Arrington is back with us. Let's move to the Cowboys, where the contract drama continues to build. Earlier this week, Ezekiel Elliott reportedly flew back to Cabo in a huff after Jerry Jones jokingly said, "Zeke who?" when asked about the missing running back. Reportedly, Zeke thought the owner's joke was disrespectful, but Jerry doubled down on his comments yesterday.
"I've earned the right with Zeke to joke, period.
Right.
I've earned it.
So have you guys had any conversations since then at all?"
No. Okay. Well, let me be real clear about it. I've earned that right to joke.
Ooh.
I'm going to tell you what that the equivalent was.
Please.
And it's serious. It's please. Very common in the black home. Mm. "I brought you into this world, and I'll take you out."
Okay.
And they'll give you that same look like, now what?
Yeah.
That's what Jerry was doing.
That sent chills, because not only did he say period, and then
they
try to move off, he was like, "Let me reiterate."
Yeah.
And then he gave him that wink like, "All right, now, back up." That was more, even worse than mama saying, "I brought you in."
Come on, go. Come on, I know where you're going. Go ahead.
You sure?
Because that's where I was going. Go ahead. Let's go down the road together.
This old dog saying, what you say about my mama? Like literally Jerry Jones, like, what you say about my relationship with Zeke? He is looking at like, Zeke, you know what I've done for you? That is more than anybody else knows. Like, we know what we see in public receipts. Mm-hmm. They're private receipts, bank records mm-hmm. of Jerry Jones said, I invested in you, homeboy. And now y'all, media want to make smoke of this? I'm not allowing this because there was a good cop, bad cop relationship this entire offseason and this entire training camp. And as a parent, I understand that when you have multiple kids, you start to realize a couple of things. Like, we're going to play good cop, bad cop on all of them until we figure out one of them need two bad cops. Like, he ain't listening for nothing. Two bad cops on him. Zeke, you in a bad place with Jerry.
You're going to love this one. You said, okay. OG, let's go down. Let's do this again, right? You remember the movie Baby Boy, right? Yeah. When the OG came
don't
in.
Don't do that.
And he had the look. He had the napkin, and he took the gun, and he had him wipe the handle off, this, that, right? Then he gave it to him. And this is where we're going to take it. This is what we're going to do with it. He was sitting there crying, and he was upset because he thought his life was over. That's what that wink was. That's what that I let me reiterate what it okay. Let me say this again.
Period.
I helped that man clean that gun handle off. That's that. Whatever it is he know that he experienced with that young man, Ezekiel Elliott.
You stop.
He more than earned the right to joke with Ezekiel Elliott about who is that guy.
Woo. And so, again, I think Jerry was playing tough cop yesterday with Dak, as we discussed earlier, and here with Zeke, like, you gonna try to make something of this? Mm. And I agree with you, LeVar, and because basically y'all basically saying the same thing.
Yeah,
is that Jerry knows things that the public doesn't know, and if the public did know, they'd be like,
Oh my God.
In this deep with this dude?
Say it.
And it's like, you know where all the bodies are buried and what y'all did to cover it up, and you're going to say I'm being disrespectful because I said Zeke, two words, Zeke who? Mm-hmm. And now you questioning our relationship, disrespectful? Yeah, I think, again, Jerry feels like he has a Super Bowl team. And I think yesterday we're starting to see signs like, oh, so Zeke and Dak, y'all going to mess this up?
Yeah.
Not only that.
Y'all know how old I am.
Hey, wait.
Time is
not
ticking.
Only is he's feeling attacked by his own guys.
That's
dangerous.
Yeah, you know what's
crazy? You're starting to see him show it where he's starting to feel like I'm attacked by y'all. Mm. It's one thing to be in a contract negotiation, but I'm feeling like y'all trying to turn me into the bad guy in this whole thing, and y'all know what we got going on.
Yeah.
Y'all know it.
It's interesting. That's like dangerous, he could be looking at Zeke and Dak like a little friendly fire, like, hey, man, where are these shots coming from? Like, you going back because you upset? Zeke. You upset? Oh, okay, because you know we've all done something that crossed the line, stepped in it, and you don't get caught every time you cross the line. Like, in my career, everything I did, that was like, ooh. Like, if you ran the top 10 lowlights of your life, how many are of public record? Mm. Everybody listening, your top 10 lowlights. I'm talking about when you were 9 years old, you weren't supposed to be under the house. You know, I mean, I'm talking about hide and go seek, and it turned into hide and go where y'all go? Mm. All that. All the way to present day, your top 10. Zeke might got three with Jerry in knowledge. Like, Jerry, like, I know three of those. Bro.
Well,
calm down.
I'm going to add this, and I know this is about Zeke or whatever, but I'm just to recircle back to our conversation about Dak and where Jerry is mentally. You got to remember, in Jerry's mind, I think he feels like Dak owes him, not maybe as much as Zeke, but he owes him.
Mm.
Because you got to remember how tight Tony Romo and Jerry were.
Yes.
Jerry was coming to see, Tony was coming to see Jerry's son play quarterback or grandson play quarterback, and they're like family. And Jerry could have, if he wanted to, was like, I could have put Tony Romo back in there when he was healthy.
Right.
But I stayed with you, Dak. Mm. We ran Tony Romo out of here you could rise. And now you trying to soak me for every dollar you can?
Mm. Yeah.
Every dollar, I can't get a couple of them dollars back?
Yeah, because look, it's human capital. Like, I always been through this with any relationship, whether it's family, people I was dating. No one was making the money I was making. But I said, contribute in the ways you can. So it's not always about the dollars. It's about how much are you giving of yourself. Mm-hmm. And Dak, you know how much cover I have provided for you while the world thinks you are suspect, or as Pro Football Focus called them, profoundly average. And I'm now sitting here, got a contract with $30 million plus on it, and you still set tripping, as they say where I'm from. Oh, dog, I know Jerry ups. He upset right now.
He's an older guy now. He's getting up there in age. And one thing that happens when you get up there in age, you start seeing your own mortality, you start looking at things a little bit more, you start getting a little sensitive. That was sensitivity right there. Dude, I'm tired. That was sensitivity. Like, you want to play it off, you want to wink and say, you know, he's feeling attacked. And he feels as though it's coming from those two. Well, that ain't, I don't know how good that is.
I also think Jerry's philosophy in running his team that he wants validated, because you got to remember, everybody credits the first three Super Bowls to Jimmy Johnson.
Yep.
And so Jerry wants his – Jerry's like, look what I've done in the draft. We've assembled the most talent in the NFL. And part of Jerry's philosophy is, I'm going to treat my players one-on-one better than any other owner. Mm-hmm. That's part of my philosophy of building this team. We're going to be friends. I'm going to treat you like family when your career is over. And, again, what he feels like and what I'm going to get in return – is what I got from Jalen Smith that I'm not getting from Dak and Zeke.
He gave him that wink, too. Jalen Smith saw that wink in his press conference. It's crazy. Supposedly, that was the rift between him and Jimmy Johnson. Jerry's just like, give me a little of this credit. And Jimmy was like, that's on you, brother. And so they had to split their ways. He is Kobe Bryant post-Shaq. He wants to win one without you. Like, Shaq left, and Kobe didn't get all the credit for those rings. And they were like, damn, Kobe, you ever going to do something without Shaq? And Jerry, white mambo up here.
I agree. I would just put a little albino bit more positive spin on it.
Okay.
In terms of Jerry didn't get the credit that he deserves. And that's no shot at Jimmy Johnson.
Right, no.
That's a shot more at the media, the right. Like his flamboyance.
Yep.
So let's give it to Jimmy. But Jerry has, even though he's in the Hall of Fame, he hasn't gotten his proper due as a football mind. And he wants it. Everybody gives him credit on the business side. But this dude, I played at Arkansas too. I know a little bit about football. Mm-hmm. I'm an executive that knows football. Mm. He wants some credit. Uncle Jimmy's still in Cabo with the blue M&M's.
Oh, man.
Melting all right, so mouth, let's huh? get to our highlight from our discussion earlier about Jerry Jones. Will soon be D-Day in Dallas. Jerry will use the 52 men inside his barracks to talk some sense into Dak Prescott.
When you hear team friendly, and we look it up in the dictionary, a picture of Dak Prescott just jumps out. Oh, team friendly, because he can't be talking about anybody else of the trio. Think about it.
All right, Marcellus.
Listen.
Think Jerry likes all of this drama around these contracts. You think he likes the attention?
No. And I'm talking about right now in the present, no. Because when something happens, it's as important as what is happening. I love tacos and I love ice cream sundaes, but not for breakfast. You know what I mean? Like, I want them at the proper time. Yeah, you look at me, you're like, you do? Yeah, then I do yoga. So the point of it is, it's when do you get what you want, not just what you're getting, which is attention that obviously Jerry Jones loves.
I agree with you. When we're on the other side of these contract negotiations, if they end successfully, mm-hmm. Jerry's going to look back, man, what a great summer.
Yes.
We were the center of attention all summer.
Right.
There was a lot of focus on me. I delivered. We got these guys signed. And now we're going to go on this, what he believes to be a Super Bowl run. Right now, based on what we saw yesterday, he's frustrated and bothered.
Yeah, he's like, the fuse is shorter. You can just tell right now, because he's wanting to go out there and correct narratives. He wants to make sure everyone is understanding his seriousness in this moment. His tone is changing. A lot more winks, a lot more let's talk bigger than football. Y'all better get this picture and understood.
I don't think, because you always anticipate worst case scenario, I don't think Jerry anticipated getting here to, what is it, August 22nd?
Yeah.
And none of the three guys
signed. Right.
I don't think he anticipated that, so I think he's frustrated right now. All right, let's get to our approval ratings for Jerry. I still have the big man at GOAT status, although I dropped him for the very reasons I said. Job performance, I docked Jerry 3 points, 1 point for each one of the big three on offense that's unsigned.
Yeah.
Keeping the same in all-time greatness, same in character. Dropped him 2 points a little bit in authenticity because I think he needs to tell the truth about Dak. Dak wants too much money.
Yeah, you know what? I did this individually, and then when I saw the number wasn't GOAT status, I was upset because I think Jerry's a GOAT. But right now in this moment, none of the trio is signed. Job performance has to drop. Authenticity, one day you're the good cop, one day you're the bad cop. Which one really are you, Jerry? So I had to drop you to All-Star.
Oh. Am I reading that right? He's GOAT status.
Yes, you did.
On our Twitter poll, they agree with me as well. The public agrees with me.
Yeah.
Jerry's still a GOAT.
You need laces.
Jimmy,
too.
If you're watching, I hope you're having a good time in Cabo.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.